It is good that we can spend this precious time with one another today. And thank you for tuning in and downloading this podcast. We're together coast to coast here in the States on the radio and all the way around the world on this here podcast. And we're going to finish off our discussion on repentance now, and then pivot to begin talking about Jesus' baptism. The first 2 days of this week, I took up a question regarding repentance and what the Roman Catholic Church calls penance. Repentance and penance is not the same thing, but they sound the same. So my intention is to clarify for you why these are different, and we have done that. Should you have any questions or comments about what I said, email me or drop a letter in the mail to me today. I value your opinion, insights, agreement and disagreement, what have you. So communicate to me what's on your mind and we will correspond. Last night, I was thinking about what we discussed yesterday, and I want to add two biblical thoughts. First, in Roman Catholicism, there are two kinds of sin, mortal and venial. But those are not in the Bible. According to God, all sin is mortal, because all sin causes us to die spiritually and to be separated from God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23a makes this abundantly clear. I'll read the entire verse later. The Apostle Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin is a real killer. Most people are more concerned about their diet, their weight and lack of exercise, and their bad habits killing them than they are about the total destruction that their sin creates. But the Bible tells it to us straight. For the wages of sin is death. All sin is mortal, that is deadly. There are no venial sins. Second, all sin is totally, 100%, fully and completely forgiven by Jesus Christ when you come to Him with nothing but our faith, when we believe in Him. Christ has paid in full the penalty for our sins with His death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. As the song says, Jesus paid it all, so that when you and I put our faith in Christ, not our works, not our effort, but our faith, then we live in a permanent state of forgiveness for our sins. Genuine Christians never move in and out of a state of grace. No, we receive God's grace alone by our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, all for the glory of God alone, and we remain saved from our sin forever, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's all because of Him. And I get it. This is hard for most people to accept. Certainly for Catholic people to accept. There must be something I need to do to earn God's forgiveness. You do not know how bad I have been. I must go and obtain absolution from the priest. I have had that said to me. But listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Oh, please listen to what God says. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That is a very important scripture to know. 1 Timothy 2:5, our mediator is Jesus Christ. Our mediator is not, never a priest. All priests are just like the rest of us, sinners in deep need of Christ's forgiveness for sin. None of them can effectively mediate, absolve us of sin, forgive us of sin, or tell us what to do, what penance to do to get rid of our sin. Let me read all of Romans 6, verse 23 now. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that? While sin equals death, hold on. Here's the greatest news you'll ever hear. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you want to be set free from your sin? Then believe in Jesus, our Lord. Repent and believe the gospel. Confess your sins directly to Jesus in prayer, and you will be forgiven all your sin. I do not care how bad that sin is. All of it will be forgiven by Jesus. If you stop trying to impress God with your good works if you stop trying to earn your salvation, if you stop doing penance, and if you depend totally on Jesus, God's free gift of your redemption, rescue, and deliverance from the awfulness of sin. This is who God is. This is how God saves people from sin. This is the only way he saves people from sin. I urge you to believe God's word, the Bible, to you. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, I pray for every single person within the sound of my voice today. And I ask you to call all of us into meaningful repentance before you this day, this night. I pray for anyone who has not yet invested their faith, as small as that faith may be, in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that at this hour, this person will believe in Christ for the complete and total forgiveness of sin. And thank you for saving us, those of us who are your people, your disciples. Thank you for giving us your grace. But now, Lord, convict us of our sin. Draw us to ongoing and continual repentance before you. I pray we will be those of yours who grieve over our sin, who turn from evil and return to you, O God, and who are ever and always changing our minds about sin. I pray for your church in the United States and everywhere in the world. Find within your church repentant people. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior from sin, our Master. Amen. Steve Green, one of my favorite musicians, sings the song, I Repent. I often play this when I am praying prayers of repentance. I'll share the words with you here. I regret the hours I have wasted and the pleasures I have tasted that you, O God, were never in. And I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. And I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I return to fall in love with Jesus. I bow down on my knees, and I repent. That's Steve Green's I Repent, and this meaningful song goes on from there. I think this captures well prayers for repentance. But while keeping repentance foremost in our minds, I invite you now to come back with me to Matthew chapter 3 in your Bible. Believe it or not, 2 weeks and two broadcasts and podcasts ago, I read Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 through 2. Here that is again. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then I stopped us on the word repent and led us into a discussion on what it means to repent as far as God is concerned. Well, now we return again to Matthew chapter 3 and the life of Christ, and Jesus continues to teach us about who God is. And the life of Christ picks up again at verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3. I'll get to that in a moment. But first, you should know that in verses 3 through 12 of Matthew 3, we're told about who John the Baptist is and about his own preaching ministry. He has a very harsh message for the Sadducees and Pharisees and for all of the religious hypocrites alive today. And then Matthew tells us about the Baptist ministry, baptizing in water people who confess their sin to God. But I encourage you to read all of Matthew chapter 3 tonight, so you know it, and so you have a real feel for the context into verses 13 and following, where we meet Jesus, and where we pick up the text now. Tonight, spend a few moments reading all of Matthew chapter 3. This will not take you long, and even if it did, it's richer than anything you're going to read, watch, or listen to before bed. Reading the Bible in a meaningful way is always well worth your time, and getting the Word of God into you before you sleep is one of the best ways to grow spiritually. Not to mention, you will sleep much better if you do. I'm going to read for you now Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Hear now God's Word to you in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John the Baptist permitted Jesus. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And I read that from the New American Standard Bible. That is the NASB in English. And now let's ask our question. In this text, what does Jesus teach us about God? I love that question. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to tell you from my perspective. But I want to do something I have not done in a while, and that is give you a friendly assignment. So here is one. As you're reading these verses in Matthew 3, again, I advise the whole chapter. Before tomorrow's time together, see if you can identify some lessons Jesus has for us about the nature and character of our God from within what happens here, what he's done, and from what he's said. So watch the words and the deeds. What do these words and deeds teach us about the living God? I'd like to suggest you write these down, either within the margins of your Bible or on a piece of paper, or go ahead and use your technology and record your thoughts there. Engage your mind and heart in discovering what God wants to say to you for yourself. The Democrats will still be doing what they do tomorrow. MSNBC isn't going anywhere. The Republicans will still be doing what they do tomorrow. Fox News isn't going anywhere. Forget all that. Get a hold of your Bible and take it with you to your favorite reading spot. For those of you working the night shift, bring it to work with you and read it during a break. Matthew 3. If you cannot read, then get the audio and see what you learn. And then join me again tomorrow for God is.